Blog Talk Radio.
Carrier asks, what does comfort mean to you? Is it a cool breeze on a scorching day? Or a cozy corner on a cold night? That every room of the house is as inviting as the next. And the air is fresh and clean for everyone. That humidity is where it belongs. At Carrier, comfort means more than just the temperature. And the people who invented modern air conditioning keep inventing new ways to make you comfortable, however you define it.
We had the right love at the wrong time. Guess I always knew inside I wouldn't have you for a long time. Those dreams of yours are shining on distant shores, and if they're calling you away, I have no right to make you stay. But somewhere our roads are gonna cross again. It doesn't really matter when, but somewhere down the road, I know that heart of yours will come to see that you
Thank you for that, Brother O. This is the product of Beverly Nation. This is the Know Your Rights show, and I'm your host, Terry Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Of course, this is brought to you by the boys from Looking Glass Entertainment. And before I begin, I would like to thank Brother O. Ladeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The title for this evening is Spirituality, A New Perspective. We have another interview with the amazing Ty Kane, Healing Anger with Getting to Love, of course, part two. And I am definitely looking forward to the show. There has been many miracles going on lately. So I want to read a couple of things before we get started. So this is one by Lazarus. Some people say emotions get in the way. We say emotions are the way. And that was by Lazarus, of course. Any significant emotion has more power in it than that required to send a rocket to the moon. And that was by Seth. So it's been a month since I've seen you guys. We had a fantastic show, the last show. We had the amazing Ty Kane. He came on here with with some powerful esoteric concepts that he was talking about that I'm sure we don't hear too often, such as perhaps the goddess created the god, and the fact that we have,
I love that.
We're ancient god and the goddess. So here we are again. We're going to take that a little further. We're going to go into it further because, you know, we all need better futures. And most of us are not aware of the fact that we create our realities, or we create what's going on with us. We've talked about this in the past on the Know Your Rights show, the fact that we're all creators. Where this process of future vision, it takes that to the 10% or the 9th or 100% in terms of helping you to create the future that you want, since you're creating your reality anyway. So why not create the one that you want? All right? So this guy has built his life around it. He's been very successful. His energy is off the charts. I can't stop crying half of the time. I don't want to admit that, but yeah, I said it. And so here we go again. So I have the amazing Ty on. I didn't read my second saying. Any significant emotion has more power in it than that is required to send a rocket to the moon. Any significant emotion has more power in it than that required to send a rocket to the moon. And that was by Seth. All right. So Mr. Kane, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
hello, Paris.
Okay, great. All right. So I want to start this off. So you're saying that all emotions are positive, and you're trying to tell me that there is no such thing as a negative emotion. In fact, fear and anger are actually positive emotions. Now, that's a new one for me, because I've been trying to stop being fearful. I've been trying to be angry for years. You know what I'm saying? That sounds crazy.
Right.
So
right.
I'm going to need for you to elaborate on that.
I'd be happy to. And that idea is so powerful.
Powerful.
So important. And I didn't believe that myself until I met Lazarus. And then he was the one who said, like, I was 30-something, my mid-30s, and he said, all emotions are positive. And I had spent my whole life also thinking anger and fear and sadness and loneliness, and all of those are negative emotions. And then happiness and joy and all of those are positive. I never stopped to think about, well, why in a rather amazing life and an incredible world that we live in, why do we have all these negative emotions if they're negative? Nothing else in the world is like really seriously negative in our bodies. Everything works quite beautifully except when we screw it up. But there's nothing extraneous. Like even the doctors think that things like the appendix and they think they're extraneous organisms or organs. And then they go, and a few years later, they find out, no, it has a critical function. Everything in the body is used efficiently. So why would we have all these positive emotions and then burden ourselves with all these negative emotions? And it never made sense to me, and I tried to just be positive and suppress my emotions. And then I met Lazarus, and he said, they're all positive. They all have a really useful function. I never really thought about it before. Never really considered that. And then when he started to mention that they all have a literally a life and death value. So here's the thing that blew my mind when I started thinking about it. Most of us try to get rid of fear. Like you said, you want to get rid of fear. How do you get rid of fear? Well, you try to be positive. A lot of people take drugs, legal drugs, illegal drugs. That's what most of the psychological drugs will kind of mellow you out. It'll just even you out, which means you don't have the lows. You don't feel as much depression, sadness, fear, whatever, but you also don't feel the highs. So you're just kind of neutral, neutralized. What happens if you neutralize your fear? And a greatest example of that is when I thought of as I was trying to ponder this and explain it to my clients, explain it to kids. If you could take a pill and get rid of fear, would you do it? And most people say, well, yeah, of course. That's why I'm taking Xanax and Prozac and Wellbutrin. That's why I drink after work every day. I'm trying to get rid of the fear and the anxiety. Here's the problem. If you took a pill and got rid of fear, that evening, say, you went out for a walk and you're walking down the street and you're crossing the crosswalk to go over the other side of the street and there's a bus coming down the road and they lost their brakes. They don't have control. If you don't have fear and there's a bus coming, what happens?
You're going to get hit.
You're going to die. Yes. A bus will take you out. So if you don't have fear, literally you die. That's not just important. That's life and death important. That's like
right.
Being here or not being, or being able to save someone else. If one of your kids is in a dangerous, they're walking across the street, and you see the bus coming, but you don't have fear. You go, oh, it's literally life and death important. It's that valuable. Here's the really incredible part. Most of us believe that we were put here by God, and he basically screwed us all over. It's like nobody is happy with their life. Nobody's happy with their parents. Nobody's happy with, well, women particularly are not happy with their bodies. I maybe met three women in my life out of tens of thousands I've talked to who actually were satisfied with their bodies. Men don't have, they're not satisfied also, but they're not as upset by it. But
right.
Your family, your life, your body, nobody's happy with what they were supposedly given. And then God burdened us with all of these negative emotions. Well, metaphysics, as you were saying, futurizing metaphysics, teaches that, no, God didn't do it to us. We chose. There are no victims. There are only volunteers here.
Absolutely.
We chose to come here. So if we chose to come here, then we also chose to have emotions. Why did we choose that whole range of negative, quote, what they're called, negative emotions? Because we need them. They literally, sadness tells you. So the analogy that works best for me is here in California, I don't know, you're in Philadelphia. I don't know if you have the bumps between the lanes and the freeway. Sometimes in snow country, they didn't have much in Utah because the snow plows break them off. But if you have the bumps between the lanes and the freeway, do you have them there?
Yes, we have them, yes.
Okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. So those bumps between the lanes, if you're driving straight down your lane, it's a nice, smooth ride. If you start drifting out of your lane, you hit those bumps, and it gets pretty loud. It gets pretty noisy, and then they cut grooves over the side of the road, so it even gets louder and to wake you up if you're going to sleep, to remind you, hey, pay attention, stop looking at your texting. Literally, those keep you on track towards your bright future, which is exactly what anger and fear and sadness and loneliness, they help stay on track. When you feel them, you need the correct course. If you pursue your joy and your happiness and the love and the fun. So in order to get to the love, or to what you said when we were talking before the show, I love that you said to get to the love, you have to deal with fear and anger and sadness, which is most people, I got to cope with this. But what if it's actually helping you get there faster? Like the speed bumps guiding you to where you want to get, where you want to go. So if you just understand that they're helping you, and then the that other thing I just mentioned, you chose them. God didn't do this to us. We created ourselves. We're part of God. We're part of the goddess. As you said, one of my favorite quotes, the goddess, Lazara said, if the truth were known, the goddess created God. The feminine energy gives birth. Men don't have babies. Women do. The goddess does. So the goddess gave birth to the whole universe, created God, and then out of that, because we're part of that, we decided, oh, I want to go to Earth, have some fun, and what do I need to help me? Emotions that will guide me. The love and the joy say, yes, go further, faster, keep going. The fear, the anger, the loneliness says, oh, you're getting off course. So I didn't figure that out until I was mid-30s. Then I still continued to stuff my anger because I had a whole bunch of it from my childhood and shitty things going on here. Everybody has that. And then what I discovered, as I mentioned last on our last show, when I stuffed my anger successfully for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, I wound up in the hospital with my appendix exploding. And the doctor said I was going to die. Within 3, 4, 5 hours, I would be dead. And I refused surgery. I said, I'm going to try to figure out. So this was after I met Lazarus, 2, 3, 4 years after I met Lazarus. And he had been talking about the value of emotions and the importance and how to actually work with anger. And I'd been listening, but I didn't get it. I didn't do it. I didn't understand it. But I refused surgery, said, I'm going to figure out, I'm going to heal myself or die trying. And So I'm in the hospital in excruciating pain, trying to ask myself, what am I doing to create my appendix exploding? And I don't want to die. I don't want surgery. And it took me 24 hours of asking myself, struggling. But when I finally found the anger that I'd been holding on to in my guts, anger with my mom, as it happened to be, an anger that I'd held on to for like 10 years, as soon as I found that and expressed the anger, instantaneously my appendix healed. Instantaneously. From the edge of death to completely healed because I found the anger that I had been stuffing. So that other quote by Seth, any significant emotion has more power in it than that required to send a rocket to the moon. And the rockets to the moon, the Apollo rockets, there's one on display at the Kennedy Space Center. It's huge, as long as a football field, big around as a small house, and it's filled with rocket fuel, explosive rocket fuel. Kennedy Space Center, they had a display that said, if one of these had ever exploded, which they didn't, they were all successful, but if one of them had ever gone wrong and exploded, it would have been an explosion the size of a small atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That's one emotion. One emotion has the power of a small atomic bomb. And we're filled with emotions all day, every day. How many of those
Absolutely.
Are depressing?
Absolutely. All right, so I want to go on to the next question, Ty. Thanks for that.
Sure.
We're going. So what I want to ask you is, I heard on the Facebook family, they said there was a lot of feedback when you speak. So I don't know how to stop that or what's going on, but I try to take care of it. My son Echo was there too. Okay, so she called in and said there was an echo there too on the Facebook family. But I want to ask you, how do you stop fighting with your emotions? Like, how do we stop fighting with our emotions? I feel like I'm always at war with my emotions. And most of us out here feel like constantly at war. How do we stop fighting with that?
Yeah. The two key things that I already mentioned, one is to realize that they're not fighting you, they're helping you.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually your friends. And the second one is to realize from the metaphysical perspective, from the truly spiritual perspective where you are a part of God and the goddess, you created those emotions. So you created emotions to help guide you, and then because we fight against them and suppress them and hold down atomic bombs worth of energy stuffed down in our guts, which put me in the hospital and damn near killed me. Then 10, 11 years later, I was suicidal. I hated my life. Because I just like gone numb, suppressed everything, was in an unpleasant marriage and a career that I hated. And I just held all that down instead of responding to it. So responding to your emotions is what your, what, if you had a friend, if you hired a friend to help you, to help guide you to where you wanted to go, and then you fought with them and argued with them all the time when they gave you advice, it'd be a waste of your time and a waste of their energy. That's what we do with our emotions. Instead of listening to them and utilizing the feedback, anger is there to protect you. It's there to tell you that this isn't right, there's something going wrong here, to protect you or someone you love. And if you listen to it, if you respond to it appropriately, it will help not only protect you, but then guide you to create healthier relationships, more honest relationships, or more effective partnerships. So the key thing to, if you think the emotions are an enemy, you're going to fight with them.
So basically you're saying, we're fighting with that we need as a compass to help tell us what's going on and to guide us. That's basically what you're saying. Okay, fantastic. Exactly. Hold on for a second. I think we have a caller in the queue now. Caller one in the queue. Who am I speaking with? This is the Know Your Rights show. This is Tarek Strength. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Brother Terrence, and peace and blessings to your guests.
Yes, how you doing, Sister Bessie?
All right. You know, I always enjoy your shows. They are very informative. I have a question for your guest.
Okay.
Hello, Sister Bessie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to hear you again.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question because I have an anger that seems to be growing. It looks like it had been growing, you know, from childhood. I've
yes.
gotten to the point where I'm afraid of it. And mm-hmm. I believe that I'm angry for my life and
yeah.
what I had gone through.
Yeah.
So I
welcome to the human race, Sister Bessie.
Yes, I've been fighting.
Everyone feels that.
Yes, a continuous war within myself.
Right.
And I'm listening to you and how you became suicidal and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm in the process right now of trying to get help to get back to break feelings of anger that I have, because when you are abused and when you are physically abused, and
yeah.
most of us, it still doesn't leave us as an adult.
Right.
And that's the war that I'm fighting with. And I just wanted to tell you that I thank you for your comments and everything that you're saying, and it's very helpful.
Great. And let me give you a couple of specific suggestions about dealing with that. The most important thing that we talked about last month was you need to create a future where you see yourself being happy. Not just happy, not just a positive thinking, bullshit, happy smile on top of a lousy life, but you need to see a future where you actually are enjoying your life so that you're happy, not because you're being positive, but because you actually enjoy your life. That's what we came here to do. That's what gods and goddesses came here to do, is to have fun. This world is supposed to be Disneyland for adults, spiritual adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned it into this torture chamber, and then all the religions teach us that God is testing us. Bullshit. It's a lie. God never tested anybody, never would. Like a loving parent wouldn't do that, much less a God. So the first thing you need to do is imagine a bright future where you actually are happy and loving your life and loving being here. Just with my words there, Sister Bessie, can you imagine that?
Yes.
Can you start to imagine a life where you're genuinely happy?
Well, since you said, I'm going to work on it,
good.
You know, because the majority of
answer.
My life, I have been unhappy.
Right.
Put it that
right.
way.
Welcome to the human
so,
race again.
that's a good way to do better. And
let me add the other piece also. The first step is to see a light at the end of the tunnel. You have to see a future where it's possible. Otherwise, you're riding on the Titanic, and you'll never be happy. If you see a bright future first, that's the first step. Then the next one, particularly for you, and listen to this carefully. There is a little girl in metaphysics, the idea is that all time is simultaneous, which means everything, all of your life is happening right now. It's like a movie, and the whole movie is already in the can, and you've got an infinite number of movies. And the little girl you is real, and she's living right now in her pain-filled childhood, way back there. It seems like a long ways away for you, but she's still alive and living there.
Yeah.
So the anger and the sadness in you, which is why people go to therapy and they talk about their childhood, but going back, it's like if you could take a time machine and go travel back to your childhood and find that your little girl is alive right now. Right now in 2021, she's actually alive, living way back in whatever year, and she's in pain. And if you took a time machine and you traveled back to be with her, and you go, oh, my God, she's in pain. And that's what therapy does. You go back and you talk about, oh, yeah, it was horrible. I was abused this way physically. I was a drug addict of all kinds. Almost all of us were abused emotionally. Almost all of us were abused religiously by religions teaching us that we're here to be tested and tortured. And a lot were physically, sexually, emotionally. So if you went back and you found that little girl and you realized she's being abused, in typical psychology, you go back and you talk about it. And you say, yeah, it was terrible. And then you, okay, oops, 55 minutes, the session's over, our therapy's over, good luck, see you next week. You go, wait a minute, I just touched into the pain of a little girl being abused, and I'm supposed to have a good week? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What psychology doesn't believe or doesn't understand is that that's a real little girl. She's just as real, just as energetic as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in pain. So what you need to do, and take this idea in, this is what the future visioning process is about. There's information on my website, there's a whole video that helps you understand how you can actually go back. And what you need to do, and so imagine this, Sister Bessie, if you could go back and find that little girl, you the adult now, hearing this stuff, learning, if you could take your future self who is genuinely happy, and the two of you could go back and find that little girl, save her from the abuse, because you're big now, you're powerful, you're a God, goddess being now, you're remembering that. If you go back as a God, goddess, powerful being, and you go step into the room where the girl is being abused, your little girl is being abused, and you grab the abuser by the scruff of the neck, you punch him in the face, throw him out the window, and you save her.
Yeah.
Number one, that helps you vent your anger at the people who abused you. You get to beat the crap out of them. Yeah, I've had clients kill... I've gone back. I've killed people. My ex-wife's attorney, I killed him so many times during the divorce. Every day, I get up, I go to my imagination, I go to his office, I'd hit him so hard, his head would explode. And I'd go, I'm so pissed off. I'd put him back together. I'd hit him again. Okay, then I felt better. Then he was on the 25th floor at Century City Towers. I'd throw him out the window, watch him fall 25 floors and go splat. Okay, then I can go on with my day.
Yes.
So you get to do that with the characters in your play, because it's all a movie anyhow. This whole thing is made up. But if you went back and you save the little girl, you vent the rage, you let her beat the crap out of them, let her throw the abuser out the window, and then you change her movie. You actually give her loving parents.
Yes.
You give
her
a safe environment to live in. So you literally rewrite your past. And you heal the anger, and you heal the sadness, and you heal the fear. The sadness and the fear were there to begin with to tell you this is wrong. I shouldn't be abused this way. I shouldn't be hit this way or talked to this way or hurt this way. You knew it was wrong, but you didn't know how to process anything. Now you can go back and follow those directions that your anger was correct about, saying this person is an asshole. This person is an abusive son of a bitch and needs to be thrown out the window.
Got it.
Yeah. You get to go back and do that. How would that feel, Bessie, if you could see a bright future and you could actually go back, and there are numerous times during your childhood, sometimes you have to do 6, 8, 10 different times go back and find those painful times? What if you went back and healed those and you could see a bright future? How would you feel? Actually, how do you feel right now just thinking about that?
You know what? I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying to myself, look, a whole bunch of people are going to be thrown out the window.
Yes, yes, don't let me go.
Hey, listen, listen, hold on. Out the window. Hold on. We got to keep this thing moving. Sister Bessie, we got another caller in the queue, so I'm trying to keep this thing moving. But Ty, that was a fantastic explanation. Sister Bessie, I hope, did you understand what Ty was saying?
Thank
Sister
you.
Sister Bessie?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How do you feel right now, Sister Bessie? How do you feel right now?
I love what you told me, and I'm going to take it in you. Thank you.
I noticed you feel better already.
Yes.
Ty, she's throwing somebody at the window right now, Ty. But listen, we got to move it on. Sister Bessie, when is your next show?
Yes, my next show is the 24th, this Friday coming up next week at 9:30.
Okay, great, great. All right, thank you for joining the show, Sister Bessie, and thank you for your comments, and I hope Mr. Kane helped you out. All right. I think we have a next caller in the queue. Caller two in the queue. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Mo.
Oh,
hi, Mo.
Hello. How are you doing, Mo?
Fine. How are you? I have a
doing
question,
great.
Mr. Kane.
Okay.
I'm ready. Nice to hear your voice.
I want to know how – you too. I want to know how many people have spontaneously healed using your program.
Well, here's a crazy statistic. Every single person who has really gone in and done what Sister Bessie did right there, oh, my God, I already got the list. I know which window they're going out. I already got the people who do that, every single one heals. I've never had a client, like most therapy fails 90, 95% of the time. My success rate is like 90, 95% success, because the only people who don't heal are the ones who, well, we're talking today about emotions. The ones who won't deal with the intensity of their emotions, the ones who won't get pissed off enough to throw somebody out a window or to punch them in the head so their head explodes, the people who don't feel their emotions don't heal. The people who do actually heal, because it's the way the human being, we're extraordinary organisms. How much have you healed, Mo?
A lot.
Our first conversation was 30 minutes. How much did you heal?
I healed quite a bit, actually. That was the best I'd felt in years. That was the best I'd felt in years, honestly.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Because when you do what works, it works. When you do what doesn't work, which is why I tried virtually every therapy there is on the planet, and I insult therapies with a broad brush because none of them work. I tried them all, and the reason I do that is not to be a jerk. The reason I do it is because every single one of my clients, like you, Mo, how many years did you spend doing every kind of therapy, spending tons of time and money, and getting more and more upset? And more, how long? How many years did you suffer trying all those things? Have a positive attitude. Oh, don't deal with your anger. Take a drug so it'll just mellow you out and make you mediocre, turn you into a zombie.
That's true.
Or the tapping or the breathing. How many years did you spend doing that?
20.
And it changed in 30 minutes. 20 years of that. And it changed in 30 minutes, because if you do the right thing, it freaking works.
It does.
If you do the wrong thing, it doesn't matter how many years you do it. And so those two things that I mentioned to Sister Bessie, connecting to the future and actually being honest and releasing the anger and going back and actually changing the past. Future visioning is the only therapy I know of in the world who does all these and deals with the anger at God, which is the other piece that Bessie was saying she's been angry her whole life. And I said, yeah, everyone is pissed off at God. Every single human being I ever met, including me. Took me like 17 years to find my anger. Took me only about 10 years to find my anger at God after Lazarus talked about it. Then it took me another 3 or 4 years to find my anger at the goddess, which was explosive. And when I did that, my whole life changed. And you know, Mo, you felt that. when you get that anger out of you, like atomic bombs worth of anger, how much energy? Here's a question for you, Mo, because we talked so much about anxiety, talked a lot about depression. I was suicidally depressed 27 years ago. How much energy does it take to keep a lid on an atomic bomb that has already exploded?
Way too much energy.
It takes more energy than the atomic bomb. And you've got thousands
right.
of atomic bombs of anger and rage, as well as love that's unexpressed, unfulfilled. And you're keeping a lid on that chronic fatigue. Every single time I've helped people heal chronic fatigue after 7, 10, 11 years, sometimes just like you, 45-minute conversation, chronic fatigue gone because they realize they're using their own energy to keep a lid on 100 tons of atomic bombs going on inside of, and when they decide to stop pushing it down, they go, oh, that's exhausting. It's a lot more fun to let her rip. Sister Bessie, when
right.
she starts chucking people out the window, she's going to come alive. She's already alive. She's already fun. Wait till you see her after she throws a few people out the window, punches a few people, use whatever, chainsaw, flamethrower, whatever. You get creative about it. How did you feel? What happened to your energy after we talked for the first 30 minutes, Mo?
My energy was up. I was up that night cleaning and doing things I hadn't done in years, actually. Not that I hadn't cleaned in years, but I was up past the time I used to go to sleep because I used to go
right.
to bed around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And that night I was up at midnight cleaning like it was 4:00 in the afternoon. I was doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I was having fun. When you got a party to go to, all of a sudden, oh, I'm exhausted. I can't. Oh, wait, we're going to go have some fun. It's amazing how much energy. And when you stop depressing the atomic bombs worth, when you stop
right.
doing that, the emotions flow through. They are literally life. Oh, one of the questions Terrence and I were talking about, you'd be a good person. What would happen, Mo, if you lived a life, if you, like, people want to try to control their emotions, which is deadly, dangerous. If you controlled your emotions to where you didn't have emotions anymore, what would happen if you didn't have emotions?
You get depressed.
You wouldn't even function. You'd be a robot.
Yeah. You would
without
emotions,
all
that
there
in.
Is no life.
Right.
So the goal of therapy and drugs and all those things is that, well, halfway suppress yourself to death. Just suppress yourself till you're boring. And that's what I did. And it almost killed me twice. That's what you did, 20 years of pain. And the other thing I was saying about therapy, if you don't understand the future and you don't understand the emotion and you don't understand having to go back and change the past and then deal with the anger at God and the goddess, which we did, if you don't do those things, every other therapy, and I got a list of 413 of them in my computer here, 413 different therapies that don't do those things, and there's 413 therapies that are as useless as rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Right.
Because if you don't change the course of the ship, you're headed for an iceberg. It doesn't matter if you get a beautiful massage or you tapping for an hour, bang yourself in the head, or do a meditation, go to a spiritual guru, go to John of God in South America. If you don't change your future after you get the massage or after you get the insight from John of God or whatever that happens, imagine you're riding on the Titanic, you get a beautiful massage. They really work here. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's good. That's where it hurts good. Oh, yeah, yeah, love that. And then you finish the massage, you walk out on deck, and you're still headed for the iceberg. What happens to the healing you just got from tapping or a massage? It's gone. You're filled with terror and anxiety, and now you're even more pissed because nothing really changed.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm going to keep this moving, Ty.
Thanks
for calling. Thanks for calling us. We have a track neck and Brother Mo. Thanks for calling us, Mo. I appreciate the comments and Ty's comments. We're trying to keep this party moving. Other callers are coming in. I think we have a track next from Brother O. Brother O?
Oh, cool.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do.
Thank you for that, brother. Oh, I think we have a third caller in the queue right now. Caller three, who am I speaking with? This is the Know Your Rights Shop.
Yes, this is Jared, the Gifted One. Thomas calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. How are y'all this evening?
We're doing okay. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm calling in to let you guys know I'm enjoying the show. And brother, oh, you're doing your thing with that music tonight.
Always. So what is your question for Mr. Kane?
I actually didn't have a question. I'm just enjoying the conversation tonight. I'm definitely enjoying the conversation. Oh. And I definitely get where he's going with when he's saying you have to embrace your emotions.
Yes.
Yeah, especially us men. We are more damaged by the prejudice against emotion than women are. They get to feel some of them, not all. They can't feel anger, really. They get to feel sadness, and they tend to feel more emotions, which is why women outlive men. Men generally die sooner than women do. So the suppression of our emotions, like I was in a hospital on the edge of death, then I was suicidal 11 years later, because I was suppressing emotions. And men are taught to suppress all emotions except for anger. That means you're strong. If you get angry, you can be nasty. It's seen as a sign of strength in a man. And it is so deadly. It is so painful. It's weird. Being numb, which is what most men are to a large degree, being numb is the worst thing of all. Being in pain, at least if you feel the pain, you can cry. Isn't that true? Tell me your name again.
My name is Jared.
Jared. Being numb is like not even being human.
I'm gonna share. I don't want to cut you off, but I'm gonna share a real experience with you. I just lost my grandfather a couple of weeks ago, and I was in a space where I had completely shut down what I was feeling, and it took me about a week to really just open myself up to let the emotion out. And once I was finally able to let the emotion out, I started feeling better. I even went and dyed my hair because I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. I can get back to me.
And you're looking good.
I say this as a person. Yeah, thank you so much. I say this as a person who gets it with emotionals, because I'm a Cancer. I'm a very emotional being. We have to, as not just men and women, but as humans. We have to be able to let those emotions flow. You can't hold back what you feel. If you hold back what you feel, you will eventually let yourself down on some level. So never be afraid to express what you feel. I'm an artist and a writer, so I'm always expressing myself through songs, through painting, through writing, through music. I'm always expressing my emotions. So never be afraid to express those emotions, guys. It's very cathartic.
And it literally, don't you find that it is the source of your art? It's the source of your creativity. It's the source of your writing. Try getting rid of your emotions and then like paint or write. It's like, who cares? I wouldn't do it diddly if I didn't have some passion. And then the other end of the sad thing is like the artist who cut his ear off. You have to be in pain to be an artist. I live in LA, so I work with a lot of people in the entertainment business, everything from writers, directors, actors, executives, people who are just connected to the business. And one of the tragic things is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, particularly working with the creative, the writers, actors, trying to talk them out of their pain is one of the hardest jobs in the world, because they are convinced by the story of whoever was Picasso, or who was it who cut off his ear supposedly, and is famous for that and famous for being a great painter as well. Artists are taught that their pain is the source of their creativity.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
wrong.
I believe that's
bullshit.
True. I believe that's true for me.
It isn't. What's true is your emotions are the source of your creativity, not your pain. Your pain is one piece of input, but like we were talking about the two songs we've listened to, they're inspired by love. And love is the ultimate. Here's a weird thought. Fear and anger and pain are actually versions of derivatives of love.
Wow. Okay.
Because in the beginning, there was just the goddess, and the goddess was just pure love. And then she decided to create God because she wanted a partner. She wanted somebody to hang out with. So she created God, and then as part of them, we decided, let's just create ourselves in a billion different forms, one of them being human. But in the beginning, all there was love. So if you created yourself out of love and you created anger and fear and loneliness and they were created out of love, then they are expressions of love, which is what we were saying earlier. They guide you. If you listen honestly to your fear and your pain and your anger and your sadness, if you listen to them when they're whispers before they become screams, they will guide you to the love, to the beautiful future. They actually guide you home, to go back home to God and the goddess, which is where we're going ultimately. That's our ultimate future. So your grandfather, how happy is your grandfather right now, wherever he is?
I believe he's very happy. I believe he's very happy. He has peace. He has peace with him being gone.
He's right. And he's got a perspective on life, on lifetimes. He's got a whole new – there are a lot of people who have gone there. One of my crazy friends, Daniel Brinkley, has died 6 times now. And the first one, he died, he got hit by lightning, was dead for 28 minutes, and then came back to life because he went out and had this incredible experience talking to beings of light and seeing his life. He reviewed his entire life, every single moment of his entire life. He became every person that he had ever interacted with in a significant way. And what was radical about that is he was a son of a bitch when he was alive. He was a bully. He was a nasty bastard. He actually became an assassin. He was in the military. He was a sniper. He became an assassin. I was talking to him in Hollywood at a big event here last year, and he had 32 confirmed kills as a sniper. He killed 32 people for the government, for the military. That's what he did. And he became every one of those people that he hurt. When he died, he became every one of those people and experienced what he did to them. He had that perspective. What's it like to have your head shot off by a .50 caliber from a mile and a half away where your head explodes? He experienced that. And so he was an asshole. When he died, he was a bully his whole life and just a nasty son of a bitch. After this experience, He came back. He's one of the sweetest human beings you'll ever meet in your life. He's a healer. He helps veterans transition because he knows how beautiful it is on the other side. So it's all love out there where we're going. And his love was manifested by his experience of dying, experiencing all of what he caused in life. And that guided him to become now, he's just a gem. He's a brilliant, spectacular healer, loving human being. So the love is the source, even of the anger and the fear, and the anger and the fear are just there to help us get back to the love.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm not going to – listen, we got to keep it moving. We got other callers in the queue. Brother,
cool.
Thanks for calling in.
I hope
Mr. Kane, you got to keep it moving because I have to stop by. He gets rolling. So thanks for calling in, brother, and Ty, thank you for those comments. I hope he helped. I hope Mr. Kane helped you out. All right, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller four in the queue. Who am I speaking with?
Angela, I'm calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I want to congratulate the 2020 ONE syndicated station linear new host of the year, Terry Strength, on your ONE syndicated station all-time connection record with your 32nd all-time connection record and unprecedented 31st consecutive all-time in category. Congratulations, Terry Strength.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Terry.
Commissioner, thank you. Thank you, Angela. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is our Angela, when is your next show?
I'm back on May 5th.
Okay. All right. Walking in purpose.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And notice that just as a fun thing there. Angela, it's so beautiful to congratulate and appreciate Terrence and to love him for what he's doing, for the fun that he's sharing, the magic that he's spreading. And notice there's just an interesting example. If you did that with no emotion, you said, congratulations, Terrence, on your 32nd show and your 31st in the award. If you did it with no emotion, as opposed to the way you did it with obvious love in your voice, notice the difference between literally life and death. Emotions are so important. We spend our whole lives trying to suppress them, and yet they literally make it worth being here. That was beautiful. And the love there and the appreciation.
The best. She does everything for this, for ONE with emotions. So she's the best commissioner ever. And thank you for that, Angela.
Thank you.
We have another caller in the queue. Another caller in the queue. So we want to keep this party going. Caller five in the queue. Who am I speaking with?
All right.
No,
caller
another
five. There she is. Okay, there we go.
Hello.
I can hear somebody. Yes.
This is Steph.
Okay. How are you doing? You said Steph.
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to ask Ty, if we feel, when we feel the fear and the anger and the sadness and grief and things like that, if we allow ourselves to feel them, then what do we do with those emotions to get back to the love?
Great question. The everything that I've said here applies to that, particularly what I said to Sister Bessie. The first thing you need to do is get connected to the love by creating a future where you see yourself being loved, full of love. And not only see yourself being loved, but we're creating a better world. It's been chaotic, but you have to, in order to remodel a house, you have to tear it all apart and then rebuild it. That's what we're doing with the world, with society, with religions, with ourselves. So if you go into a remodel, you just start tearing your house apart, and you don't have a picture of what it's going to look like when it's beautiful at the end, you get depressed just because it's a mess. So the first thing you need to do, tell me your name again.
Steph.
Beth?
Yes.
Beth.
Okay, Beth. Yeah, so the first thing you need to do, and try it right now, literally you can start working on this right this moment, imagine a future. It doesn't matter whether you go 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Imagine a future where you are genuinely happy and you love your life and another big thing that we can do with our emotions, with those atomic bombs, or the, we need to change the world. We need to create a better world. And we're doing that. It's in the process. But the way you do that is you have to design, you have to create a blueprint of what it's going to look like when the remodel is done. So you imagine a future where you are genuinely happy, where you're loved, where you're safe, where you get to feel your emotions, because most of the time you feel happy. You have to have a light at the end of the tunnel or you'll never go into the tunnel. If there's a light, then you can put up with all kinds of crap. So design a future. Imagine a future where your life works, where you are happy, where you are loved. And that's a big shift for most people, because we've been literally told and it's had it beaten into us that we're here and God is going to test us all the way through our life. That's a lie. It was a lie in the beginning. Ask God. Close your eyes. Go talk to God. Say, are you wanting to test and torture me? No, God. If God says yes, you got the wrong God. Cancel, fire him, and create another loving God. Says, hell no, I'm here to support you. You're supposed to be having fun. It requires literally changing everything, including religious teachings, to imagine a life where you're actually happy. How would you feel, Beth, if you actually had, somewhere in the future, say 10 years from now, if you had a life where everything went well, you were healthy, you were happy, you were loved, you had what you want in your life, you had good work to keep you engaged in the world, what would it feel like if you could step into a beautiful future?
Overwhelming joy.
Yes. That's where you start. Yes. Yay! Thanks.
And on that note, we got to keep it moving. Steph,
okay,
well, thanks for joining us.
So you start there, and then go back and listen to this show, and go back in and process the anger, particularly the old anger from your childhood. You have to process and release the anger. It doesn't just go away. You create the bright future, and then go back in and work to process and release, and that can happen quickly, like with Mo, 30 minutes, and her whole life changed. Thank you.
I have Ty's number scrolling on the bottom of StreamYard. It's scrolling at the bottom if you want to contact him. Did he answer your question, Stephanie? Steph? Is she there? She gone? All right. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 6 in the queue. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, this is Rochelle.
Hello, Rochelle.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of the Goddess Club. We had a question come up in our group, and the question was, are people born with anger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Pissed off before you get here. Because, and I've had a lot of, that is really a powerful question. Wow, we haven't, talked about that in the group. Yeah, it's amazing. I've taken a lot of people when they go back into their childhood, and I said, go back to a time when you were scared or sad or angry. Go back to a time when you needed help frequently, not frequently, but regularly. People will go back into the womb. In the womb, the phrase that I use is, you're not only marinating in the amniotic fluid, but you are marinating in your mother's emotions.
Oh, wow.
Literally, a baby is carried in a... Yes, take a breath. Take a breath, my dear Rochelle. You're in your mother's third chakra, the emotional chakra. So you are literally surrounded by, in the middle of your mother's emotions. And then as we were talking about in looking at the shame process, we think we are our mother because we are. We start out, we're literally part of her body. We think we are our mother until 18 months to 24 months. So, yes, you feel, not only do you feel your, well, think of that. It's a double whammy. You feel your mother's emotions. Okay, if you had a mother who is scared to death of most of life, raise your right hand. Oh, hands just went up all over the world. Here's a better one. If your mother was pissed off at virtually everything, raise your hand.
Yeah.
You feel that, part of that. And the fear and the anxiety and the whole overwhelm of all of that and the attempt to shut it down And then as you start to realize you are kind of your own consciousness, you have your own feelings. I've had a lot of clients go back into the womb and go, this already sucks. I can already feel my mother is scared of life. She's out of control. The world is a dangerous place. And I'm sort of safe here in this womb, but I have to go out there.
Wow.
Think of young people. We've talked about this a lot. Think of young people who are going out into the world, from whether it's their first school, from their house to the school to the next school, from college out into the world. Every one of those is a rebirth experience. How did you feel when you're like in this sort of warm and safe place, and then you're going to be birthed into a world that is threatening, terrifying? And then the whole thing, like when I became a rebirther 40 years ago when I first came to L.A., I went back into my birth experience and all these people's birth experience. You get born, and they do, like back then, they hold you up. It's loud. It's noisy. The lights are bright. It's painful. And then they slap you. Welcome to the world. Whack.
That's how you come in. You come in.
Trauma.
Okay, and on that note, Rochelle, thanks for calling in. We have a track next, but thanks for calling in. You have to end with the slap. I mean, you too much. I think thanks, Michelle. Thanks. You have a track in the brother O?
Very first song.
Brother O. Thank you for that. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 7, who am I speaking with?
Good evening. This is Lena Blue.
Hi, Lena.
Lena Blue. Lena.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Ty.
How are you?
It's great. I'm great. I'm great. I just want to say, Rachel stole my question.
She's intuitive that way. She does that.
Yeah.
You just have to deal with it.
She did steal my question, but I want to piggyback on it if I could. And say, from a future visioning perspective, how does that person go about envisioning and dealing with envisioning their future and dealing with their anger if they can't trace it back to a childhood memory?
What was the last? If they can't trace it back?
Yes, if they cannot trace it back. If they came back into this existence already angry before it could talk or anything.
Yeah.
All right, no more than 5 minutes. Five minutes.
Okay. What you do is you, exactly as I said, first you create a future where you're free of the anger, where you're just filled with joy. You still have anger. You don't ever want to get rid of anger. That whole idea of get rid of your anger, get rid of your negative ego, get rid of fear. No, if you do that, like I said earlier, you don't have fear, you get killed by the next bus coming down the street. You need fear. You need anger. If somebody was beating up one of your children and you took a pill so you don't have anger, or you went to therapy and it actually worked and you suppressed all your anger, and somebody walks in and they're beating up your child, you go, oh, look, broken arm. God, that, look at that blood. Oh, if you don't have emotions, you're useless. You're a zombie. You're a robot. And that's what we tried to do to ourselves. That's the whole psychological, all the psychological drugs, trying to numb people out so they just functioning. Great. That ain't my, not what I came here to do. So the working on the future and imagining a future where you're free of the anger is the first step, Lena. And then follow the emotion. And it takes practice because we've numbed ourselves for lifetimes. It takes practice to feel the emotion and then track it and follow it. And it will lead you right exactly. That's why I said when I take people back, I say follow that pain, follow that sadness, follow that fear. And they follow it back. And I go, where are you? I'm in my mother's womb. And she's screaming and raging and her husband is beating her and trying to abort me. He's hitting her in the stomach, trying to abort me. I've had that happen with clients, drug addicts. Literally, they tried their screwed up father tried to kill or boyfriend, whoever it was, tried to kill them before they were born, and so they're filled with fear of everything: men, life, the world, every single thing. So you do the same kind of thing. You go back and you just follow that emotion until you get in touch with what part of you, where is the source of that in your story? It's all just an illusion. It's all a story that you lived and made up, but it's an intense story, and you did it for a reason, because you wanted to deal with that intensity of anger. You wanted to deal with intense fear. Why? Because you ultimately want to learn to enjoy intense love.
Wow.
Is far bigger and far more powerful than any fear or any anger ever. Intense love. Our fear of love is the biggest fear of all. And the intensity of love never ends. Anger and fear, after we're in the physical realm, then there's the causal plane, then the physical, the astral, then the causal plane. And after the causal plane, when we get to sort of the realms of heaven, which is just one level of thousands of levels of consciousness, anger and fear don't go past the causal plane. So the spirits, beings, consciousness is Lazarus. They don't even, they could feel anger if they wanted to. They just don't. It's like, why? Hit myself in the head? Why? Not a good idea. The love goes on forever and ever and ever, and it's big, and it grows. And the key thing, the fear of love, is because love makes you vulnerable.
Yes.
The more you love, the more you show your real self. And as you know, Lena, the more you feel, emotions come up. And it's scary to have those come up. It's scary to feel. It's scary to cry. It's scary to love enough and then fear losing it. The fear of loss becomes, the more love grows, the fear of loss grows even bigger. That's what we're really afraid of. So you can actually go back, and literally you can go back into the womb and change the story. change the whole thing. Go create you stepping into the movie and beat the crap out of that boyfriend who is punching the pregnant your pregnant mother. Throw him out the window. Get rid of him. Save the mother. Create a whole different movie of a loving womb experience. Feel that. And then create a whole new, the whole idea of rebirthing is to redo your birth trauma. To go through it and find out what's the trauma and the slap, and then and this time come out like super baby, and when the doctor goes to slap you, punch him in the nose.
and on that note, we got to keep it moving.
Thanks, Lena.
You got to keep it. Thanks, Lena. Lena, did he help you? Did he give you a perspective? She gone? I guess she's gone. All right, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 8. Caller 8, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, Terrence? Your true fan, Will of God.
Will of God, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I just tuned in just a minute ago checking y'all out, man. And, hey, how you doing, TK? You saying some stuff, man.
I'm great.
Man.
Happy to hear you.
Hey, I was listening, and one thing, the way I think, I sometimes was a problem child myself because I used to always love to fight all the time. You know, I didn't take no mess from nobody. I go right up in your chin.
Right.
And then, as time progressed, but I always was a happy type of guy. You know, I always liked to have fun and everything. And since I was the only child, my friends was like, I had family, but my friends was like, wow, more and more of a family than some of my family. But then I got into church as I grew up. And it's called Renewing Your Mind. And so a lot of things that happened to me even now, when you notice that people are controlling or, desperately trying to make you do what you want, what you really don't want to do, you got to be humble. And that's one of the things I've been doing for a long time, being humble and forgiving, even if you don't want to. Then I heard what you said about the baby situation. Now, people don't understand that when you're a baby, you're mad because you're coming out and it's cold. But as soon as that daggone doctor hits you, you're already hitting fear right there. Like, oh, my God, who hit me? And that's an anger
that
might pop
up
to you. Now, when people who get angry now, I try to tell people, it's hard to do it because some people do things on purpose. And you have to try to forget certain things. You have to really learn to move forward and forget. But then you got people out here who on purpose do stuff, lie on you, and they never, then when they find out the truth, when you know that they're lying, and then you catch them, and now they don't want to tell the truth to everybody that they lied on you because they don't want to mess up their name, that becomes a little bit frustrating. So to deal with those individuals, what is the best thing to do when you know a person is just going in on you and they just, but then they finally get caught and they feel as though they don't want to say nothing because they don't want to look like the fool that they are.
Right.
How do you do that?
Yeah. So the first thing you do is you look at your life as a movie and you are the star of your own movie. It's a play. It's a theatrical production. And it's got lights, it's got people, it's got all kinds of people, main characters, it's got extras, it's got action, it's got disaster, it's got love. So it's a movie that you're starring in. And the key to the metaphysical truth that is the hardest pill in the world to swallow, but it's the only way to freedom, is to realize that you are actually writing the movie. We are all part of God and the goddess. We were powerful. We chose to come here. And the original anger that you talked about, your anger, you're like to fight when you were young. That original anger, if you go back and you find out what that younger you is angry about, undoubtedly he got slapped by the doctor and had things like that pissed him off. But the deeper anger is that when we are in a life that we were forced to come here, like you said, being in situations where people are mistreating you and you don't like it and they lie about you and how do you deal with them? Well, the biggest lie of all is that God put us here and we're all pissed off about that because, as I said before, nobody is happy with their life. Nobody had decent parents. I never met anybody who came from a functional family. We've all been screwed over so many ways and we all believe that God put us here to suffer. Well, if somebody took you and put you in a prison camp somewhere and said, you got to suffer for the next, 70 years, how would you feel about that person?
Yeah, that's kind of deep, man. Well, I know I got
you
my show. It's called Two Thirds.
You would hate their guts. Somebody who put you someplace where you had to suffer for 70 years, you would hate their guts. That's what people actually feel about God. And they're all going, I love God. I go to church 3 times a week. And no, they don't. I never met anybody that actually loves God until they go into the anger and realize, wait a minute, my whole life sucked. And all this pain in the childhood, we've heard about just little bits of it here today. Everybody had that. If somebody puts you into that kind of pain, you are not going to love them. You shouldn't. You're an idiot if you love them. The anger at God and the anger at, that you can't talk about. So when you're punching those people, going up on their chin and letting them have it, why are you so angry? I don't know. I'm just angry at life. And nobody, there's no other therapist in the world except the people who are working with me or trained with me who actually understand the reason you're so angry is because you're pissed off at God from the day you're born, from before you're born. And that anger has to go somewhere. And if it doesn't, if you don't understand it and go and actually, throw God out the window. That's what I do with my clients. Take them all in their anger at God. Let them kill God. Let them destroy him. Let him throw him out the window and create a new loving God. Then go, wow. And then realize the whole idea of being put here was not true. We chose to come here. We created our own lives. So you have to get rid of the anger. To express the anger. Release the anger. At God, at all those people, that list that Sister Bessie was starting to make already, you've got to release the anger. And then you start to feel underneath, wait a minute. Okay, so I'm here in this life, and they didn't do it to me. You mean I chose to come here? Oh, Jesus, what was I thinking?
Well, I know my show is on Friday of the last of the month, and I know with my show is called Too Thorough by Will of God, and I know what you were just saying is great with Amen. I just wasn't taking no stuff from people. That's all. I wasn't really angry at people, but when you start trying to test me and stuff, then I'll go up in your chair. Other than that,
okay,
I'm like
so
the
then,
nicest
one other
guy
question.
Out there.
We got to move on, but one other question is, what you got to look at is, why do you create people coming in on you? Why did you create that?
Because of the fact that I was such a nice guy.
No,
I was a nice guy, and some people would like to tell
me. If you were pure nice, you would create pure nice people around you in your movie. There's got to be anger in you and victimhood in you and rage in you that attracts that. We create our own reality, and we get out in the world around us is a reflection of what's inside of us. So if you create, like I created an illness that was going to kill me. That wasn't because I was filled with sweetness and light. Because I was filled with rage that was violent and explosive and wanted. You get what you believe.
All right,
okay.
So we gotta move
envy
on.
And jealousy. All right, nice meeting
okay.
you.
Yeah, thank
keep
you.
Keep it up,
well,
Karen. Congratulations.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling in. Ty, we got to move on. Brother, I think we have another track first, or do we have another call? Okay. All right. Are you there? All right.
All right. I'm
so
here.
Do we have any more callers in the queue, brother? Are we quiet right now?
Actually, it's Ngozi time. First of all, I want to thank Ty Kane coming on this program tonight. And Ty, I want to tell you something. I am one of the, you know, 9 percenters that has a functionality family.
You're a weirdo.
You're there once again. Mother and father instilling love, understanding, and judgment for me to do what I do on a constant basis. I want to give a shout-out to my mother and father for being there for me when, you know, I could not be there for myself, being able to understand the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to let people be people. That's key. Letting people say what they need to say with no censorship involved. And to hear what you said tonight, Ty, about people understanding their truth within themselves.
Yeah.
I dig that. That's a wonderful thing. You know, what happened to you? What happened to you changed you. And a lot of people who are progressive are allowed to be able to speak and heal the sin sick soul. Those things are important to people around the world. We have an international basis. We're not just in one city. You know, a lot of times our hosts come on and they, you know, get caught up in the locality. But what you say is being broadcast around the world and in different languages. You know, we're translated in 47 countries, broadcast now in 62.
That's cool.
What a wonderful thing. And people heard this show tonight, and they need to learn and understand that love is the answer. Love is the key. Tolerance will always be the barometer for change. Tomorrow night on these ONE stations, we come back on with Awaken the Goddess and Lena Blue right here on these ONE stations, 9:30 Eastern Daylight. And, of course, Devon Nation is advertising to ONE, which is Ola Deli and Ngozi Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime 1 at bednet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram, Ola Deli and Ngozi at Pinterest and Google+, Ola Deli Malay and Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, Know Your Rights, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, oleday.ngozi@gmail.com. And I am the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame producer nominee for the class of 2021. Ola Deli Malay Ngozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Tara Strength, Ty Kane, thank you for part two in this wonderful journey.
Thank you, brother.
Which is ONE Dynasty is fantastic. Now, Tara Strength, you have 3 minutes left to go in the program.
Thank you, brother. I just want to, first of all, I just want to thank Mr. Kane for coming on again and sharing his wisdom and his esoteric knowledge to help us to heal so that we can move towards love and become more loving. And I just want to say, you know, when we look at what's going on today and what's going on in this world, it's anger unchecked. And we're doing everything but the right things in order to get a handle on this thing. So I want to thank Mr. Kane for coming on this show and giving his perspective to help us to move towards love. We need to love more, family. We need to love more. And please, all to our Facebook family and everyone who came on the show, and everyone who's looking that I can't see, we have Mr. Kane's number scrolling along the bottom. Please give him a call and get a handle on this anger. There's too much anger out there, family. We're all too angry. All right? So I want to thank you. I want to thank you, brother and ONE family, and I'll see you guys in 4 weeks. And remember, always, always know your strength. Thank you.